Thurlow asked me to speak, you know, first thing came in my mind is, you know, these folks have been sitting under Thurlow's ministry for a while. What have I got to say? And then the Lord reminded me that He was the one speaking tonight. You know, that perspective needs to be very fresh in our minds and our hearts. Because so many times, I mean, we get in to the work and it becomes our work. And we got to understand that when it becomes our work, it's no longer His work. And so we have to decide whether or not it's going to be our work or whether it's going to be His work perpetually. But see, what's happened to us historically, and I really appreciated the ministry this afternoon. I appreciated all the ministry. But, you know, I just kind of have to break off a second and say that I enjoy very much stealing Thurlow's material and teaching it in our school. And, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it, right? And it's great material. We need to understand the depth and the value of what it is that we're hearing. And but we have to understand that if we are going to be who God has called us to be, if we are going to fulfill the call of God in our generation, then there's a few things that we need to do to see that happen. Now, many years ago, in pastoring our first church, I can't even remember how long ago it was, 80-something. No, it was somewhere in there. Anyhow, she's usually right, I'm usually wrong. At least if I take that stand, I'm safe. But I remember getting up in the pulpit and I was just feeling really good about myself because I felt like God gave me a revelation, and I don't even remember what it was about, but God gave me a revelation, I can't even say it, that we've been doing it wrong all these so many years and this is a way to do it. And so I began to speak, and I was getting ready for the punchline. And the Lord spoke to me. Think about it. God interrupted my message. He interrupted my message to say this to me. It's not throwing that away and doing this. It's that and this. And instantly God gave me a vision of what was transpiring in the body of Christ. This is all during the time I'm supposed to be preaching my message. He began to speak to me. And I saw over the centuries, as we have built all of the great edifices, all of the great organizations, all of those great things, and I saw, like, building blocks. You guys remember, I know I'm kind of old, but those wooden blocks, those are dangerous now. You can't have them anymore. Those wooden blocks, just different shapes, geometric shapes, and all that kind of stuff. All of the old folks remember that stuff. And I saw, like, a little castle built out of these things. And then I saw, as God took, like this tablecloth or whatever, and pulled it out and tore it all down. And I said, Lord, what is this? And He said, we can never get beyond the foundation because we all have to have our own way. Now think about that now. Especially if you're a young pastor. You know, the thing is that the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, is built line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. But if we tear it down every time we get it built up to a certain place, then we're never going to see what we're supposed to see. We're always going to see construction. Now, we know that we're always going to see construction until Jesus comes back. We know that, right? We know we're not going to get to this place, this euphoric place where everything's wonderful and everything works right. There's no turmoil. There's no dissension. There's no... See, until Jesus has His way, then we're going to see some of that stuff because we are flesh. The thing is that we are flesh, but we're supposed to live in the Spirit. So, God showed me that we need to build upon the past to understand the future and to go beyond where we've gone. Now, think about this. Today, we're hearing about historical events. And we're looking at it and we're saying, wow, we're going through the same thing today. Now just meditate on that for a second. If we are going through the same thing today that we went through back then we missed something along the way. Amen? Now, we're going over the same thing because of God's grace. Amen? Because He's going to keep working with us until He brings us to perfection. But we have to understand that we have to go beyond where our fathers went if we're going to make progress. Amen? So, we have got to not only see the vision, but we've got to be able to implement the vision to the next level. Amen? We're always talking about going to the next level. Now, what I would like to talk about tonight. Now, I usually have a great message prepared. And I just want to say this, that God wouldn't let me do my message. And I came to this conference, and the Lord said, I'm going to show you what I want you to minister. And frankly, you know, as we began in this conference, I'm thinking, wow, I mean, you know, I can see a lot of different ways we can go. I can see a lot of different things, a lot of the same things that I teach, a lot of the same things. But we need to hear what the Lord is saying. Now, one of my pet peeves is that, and we saw this take place back in the charismatic movement. It hasn't been as much now, but we got in the habit back then of doing this, where we have a time of worship and the Lord begins to speak, and everybody go, wow, the Lord spoke. Next. And we completely forgot what God said. We got caught up in the fact that God spoke, but we never heard what He said. Your kids ever done that to you? Why do you think He gave us kids? So we can see us. Amen? So God has been speaking all these years, but frankly, folks, we haven't been listening past a certain point. Historically, every move of God that has been an act of restoration was criticized and torn down by the previous generation. Now I gotta just look back through history, and we can see that as God would restore something, those who went before always never could make that transition into the next phase. Of course, God keeps a remnant. But by and large, the church as a whole wasn't able to make that transition. And so we have to ask ourselves, and see, we know we're building generationally, so we have to ask ourselves, are we going to be the persecutors of the next generation? Or are we going to let them grow into where God wants them to be? Now, God has been speaking to us prophetically. But the problem is that we don't understand the ways of the Lord. That we're too caught up in the ways of man. Let me read a scripture for you. And this is more of a prophetic message tonight. I'm not going to use a lot of scripture, even though God will bring some up along the way. But we're talking to leaders, right? We're talking to people who understand the Word and know the Word. And so, but I believe God wants to speak something prophetically to us tonight. But I believe that we need to position ourselves so that we can hear it properly and deal with it adequately. Amen? So, go with me to Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verses 6 through 11. Isaiah 55, 6 through 11. Now, I do have a Bible up here. That's my Amplified Bible. I do have a Bible typed out here, New King James Version, so I can save some time. But I'm going to read. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the wicked forsake his way. And the righteous and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Hallelujah. How many of you are grateful for that? In verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Amen? Now, that's a very familiar passage. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons why we keep going around the same bush, is because he will accomplish what he set out to accomplish. He set out to accomplish the kingdom before he ever created one thing on this earth. That was always plan A. It will always be plan A. There is no plan B. He is going to accomplish the kingdom in spite of us. How many of you know sometimes we get in God's way? A lot more than we want to admit sometimes. Amen? So if God is speaking to us, let's think a little bit about some of the things that God has spoken to us about this, even in this conference. Let's see if anybody remembers. I mean, it's just like 24 hours, right? We should be able to remember what God said. Right? We should be able to see what God said, too. Here's some phrases, some sentences from some of the words that have come forth during the conference. Make your own altar. All that you have, all that you are. No longer trust the logic of men. You must not only walk, but you must trust in my ways. Anybody remember that? The Lord said that we need to surrender. What is it that we need to surrender? Our ways. We need to surrender our ways to Him. Amen? What are some of the other things that the Lord has spoken to us? He's spoken a lot of things. That wasn't the only prophetic word that came forth. Who can share with me something else that God has said? Something that the Lord spoke to you, either Rhema or Logos, whatever, however way God spoke it to you, whether it was prophetically. But see, we need to take the word that the Lord speaks to us and take it seriously. Back in the charismatic movement, Thurlow alluded to this earlier, and I think Brian did too, but that we would hear these words of the Lord coming. It was just everybody coming, everybody'd have a word. But everybody would walk out of there and would not implement the word. We would not have heard the word that was spoken to be able to apply it to your life. And so as we developed a habit of doing that, we developed a habit of disobedience before the Lord as the body. And the word of the Lord no longer carried weight. But I want you to know that the Scripture says that every word He speaks will never return void. So all of those prophetic words over the years, and we used to be in the habit, and my wife is doing this a lot. Whenever a word of the Lord comes, I think Linda does it, my mother does it. When a word of the Lord comes, you write it down. A scribe. There you go. When the word of the Lord comes. Why? So you can look back and see, judge whether you've been obedient to what the word said. But we have habitually become people who are disobedient because we haven't heard what God said in the first place. I have a son who has ADHD. And you almost have to get him and hold him down and get him to say, focus, look into my eyes, read my lips, and then maybe he can hear you. We have a special needs child. We have a child who has Asperger's syndrome, which is a high-functioning autism. And what that Asperger's syndrome is that they never can be able to read body language or be able to connect emotionally with words or actions. They don't put it all together. So for a long time, it's like, I mean, we were pulling our hair out because we couldn't get her to listen to us. I want you to know that as the body of Christ, that's how we have been. We have been a special needs group because God speaks and we don't hear Him. If it feels good for the moment, yeah, we enjoy that. But by and large, most of the body of Christ, at least even those that are used to the power of God being expressed, they just go from one sensation to another without really hearing what God is saying. And all over the body of Christ right now, in the Spirit, but hearing God call His people to repentance. If God is calling us to repentance, we're the body, right? See, we're the avant-garde. Or we're the ones out in the front. He's calling them to repentance. But I'm going to tell you, if He calls the body to repentance, that means we all need to come to repentance. Because there's things that are transpiring in our lives that are not holy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Spirit-filled people who don't walk in the Spirit. Spirit-filled people who only listen to God when it's convenient. Spirit-filled people who only listen for whether God is going to exalt them in ministry or not. But they don't listen to the simple things of obedience. Now, God has put us in a position. Yes, I believe with everything that's in me that we are part of the remnant that God all through history has kept so that in this end time that He will always have a people who really seek after His heart. I believe that with everything that is within me. But we need to see and hear what the Lord is saying, but we need to take it seriously so that we can be obedient. See, if God is speaking a prophetic message to us, there is a demand upon us to respond to it. Amen? It's not something you can just, oh, well, I'll get around to it. Amen? Because if you go back and you look in history, you'll see that those who said, well, we'll get around to it, God just moved on to the next group. And so God is speaking right now. See, God's future is today. And see, if we're not obedient today, hello? See, then we're not going to be walking where God wants us to walk. We're hearing a lot about positioning. What positioning really is a lot of fancy talk for repenting. It is. We just use all these words and vernaculars, but most of the time we say these things and we don't even really know what they mean. We got to look at the churches and we see that the people in our congregations don't understand what true repentance is. They don't understand how salvation works. Now, I know it's not true with this group, but in many, many places, we see where they don't know how to do anything but parrot. They don't have a real encounter with Christ for themselves. Now, we all know that we need to be genuine and authentic before the Lord. Amen? Now, how many of you in here are PKs, pastor's kids? Okay? Now, those of us who are PKs, it's kind of a different phenomenon that we experience because as we're growing up, people expect us to be more spiritual than other kids. It's true. And there's so much pressure on pastors to make sure that their kids aren't like other kids. Listen to what I'm saying now. It's really important. Because we don't do this just with our kids. But what they end up doing many times is they teach them how to fake it. We got to challenge ourselves. Are we teaching people how to fake it? Or are we teaching people how to have a true relationship with Jesus Christ? I love what Brian was saying earlier. You see, if people don't have an authentic relationship, listen to what the world is saying. They're saying that the church has become irrelevant. We can't be in denial about that. We have to look at that. And we have to say, yes, you're right. The church has become irrelevant. Now, their idea of relevance and our idea of relevance are two different things. What they think is that we ought to accept everything they do. But what we need to think is that we need to let the power of God work through us and change the people around us. But you see, if we are training people to simply be part of a system and we haven't trained them to be part of Jesus, see, then they don't have anything to be relevant with. Amen? Because they're only doing what they've been taught. They've been taught how to function in our system. I know I'm preaching to the choir in here, but you got to give me a little grace because in most circles I go in, people don't comprehend the things that you're receiving here in this place tonight and have been receiving for a long time. Please don't take that for granted. Now see, some of the things the Lord's been speaking to us for a long time now is that we've been transitioning, the body of Christ has been transitioning from an institutional to a relational paradigm. Amen? And we're all there, right? At least we all think we're here. Right? Now what that boils down to is that he's really saying that we're getting to the place where we can function not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Right? We got to boil it down, right? If we're, the hierarchical, institutional model, why was it developed? It was developed because people who were void of the Spirit of God had to have some kind of order, so they created the system so that they could try to bring order in the natural to a spiritual entity. Right? So the spiritual entity of the church, see, the order comes from within. It can't come from without. So the reason they needed to establish that type of autocratic government, that type of autocratic order, was because they were void of hearing from God. So my question is, if we are truly hearing from God, then we need to be attentive to the fact that we need to be doing what He's saying. Amen? So, we see that God is moving us from an institutional to a relational paradigm, which means we're moving from the flesh to the Spirit. That means that we have to move away from our ways, which is the way of the flesh, to His ways. Now, we all know we're on that journey, don't we? And we all know that it's not just a, I can't snap my fingers. I'm sorry, it's not my gift. My wife has to do it. My little short fingers. Anyway. See, you can't just snap your fingers or have one experience and you make that transition. It has to be progressional. It has to be lifelong. It can't, see, we've been looking so long, we're looking for all of these miracles. I love what you said today, brother. Are looking for all the miracles. They're going from one place to another looking for miracles. We know what Jesus said about that, right? It's a wicked generation that seeks a sign. Amen? So what are we looking for? Are we looking to come to the place in our ministry where miracles begin to manifest? Everybody knows about Balaam's donkey, right? Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think Balaam's donkey was saved? Filled with the Holy Ghost? I think not, right? But he spoke. He was used of the Lord to speak the word of the Lord. Is that all we are? Are you hearing me? See, because if we're looking for all of the signs and wonders to authenticate the ministry that we have, we are looking in the wrong place. We've gone through a horrible season in my mind where the only people who apparently had credibility in the body of Christ were people were signs and wonders and miracles. Oh man. Woo! He's an apostle. Oh, you're an apostle? You're a bishop? Wow! People with signs and wonders and miracles, they follow them like little flies, ants. But the Bible says very clearly that in that day there will be those who have prophesied in His name and cast out demons in His name and healed the sick. But He said, depart from me, for I have never known you. We have got to stop thinking that it's God's approval when we see someone used in the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It is completely irrelevant to their position in God. All they got to be is a donkey.
I could preach on that one for a while.
So are we thinking about how the body of Christ operates through the mind of God, through the mind of Christ? Or are we thinking about it from our ways, our mind, our perspective, our feeling? Ooh, I got goosebumps. See, if we're really walking in the life of God, all that stuff is going to follow us. But we got to understand that does not make a hill of beans about anything. We have got to take personal responsibility for our own true, authentic spiritual relationship. We cannot allow ministry to steal us from authentication. Because we get so involved with ministry, so tired, so doing all of these things that we're thinking, you know, God's putting some more beans in the bag. Woohoo! I'm going to have a big sack when I get up there. But they're totally irrelevant if you don't know Him. Completely, totally irrelevant. Ways of the Lord. Let's think a little bit about how we think versus how God thinks. You know, the ways of God, the Scripture says, are perfect. Amen? The ways of the Lord are perfect. Let's see. Let me read the Scripture for you. Revelation 15, 3 through 4. It says, "Great and marvelous are Your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear You, O Lord, and glorify Your name? For You alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before You, for Your judgments have been manifested." See, any holiness that we may exude doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Him. Any victory we may see comes from Him, not from us. I like what Brian said. I believe it was Brian, or it might have been Eric, talking about today that, you know, it was Brian. You know, a lot of times when we fail, in ministry, y'all never failed, right? You never had a failure in ministry? Of course not. But when we fail, we go, "Oh God, I failed." If we take the failure, then we also take the glory. "Lord, that sure was good today, wasn't it? You know, maybe they're going to be calling me soon. I'm sure by now, Lord, You've told them about me." Because after all, it's an awesome thing we got going on together, isn't it, Lord? You know, we don't say that stuff outside. Like inside? See, that's the difference in our ways and His ways. I'll give you a really good example, Saul and David.
And we've talked about Saul and David a lot. I do. I talk about them a lot because God gave Saul and David as an example for us for many, 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 many things. Amen? Now, it's very interesting that the things that Saul did that got him rejected, David did the same things, but he was called a man after God's own heart. Is it true or false? They both had sin in their life, didn't they? And Saul even said, "Oh, I've sinned against God." And the prophet responded, "And God is rejecting you." But when Nathan came to David and said, "You are the man," David said, "I've sinned against God." And Nathan said, "And the Lord has forgiven you." I mean, a good charismatic would have said, "Well, wait a minute, that formula doesn't work right." I mean, I went to T.D. Jakes' church and he said that if you do it like this, you're going to be successful. What was the difference? David's heart. Who he really was. Not what people saw him as. You see, when we are ministering, they see the outside. But how many of you know, if you're preaching, sometimes you're preaching with your mouth, but your inside is totally someplace else. I remember one time back in the 80s, I was ministering in Belize. And we had a group of people on this mission trip who love to do practical jokes. I'm personally not a practical joker because I'm kind of serious like that. However, if you start the war, I will finish it. So anyhow, I gave the team a day of R&R and they went swimming. I went to the other side of the country, which is about 4 hours away. Maybe not that far. But the roads felt like it was 4 hours. And I got back just in time. We were getting ready to go to a meeting that night. And I get in there, and I took a real fast shower. Of course, in Central America, it's hot. It's sticky. I take a real fast shower, and I go to put my pants on, and somebody had sewed my zipper shut. So I'm going, this is not going to be good. So I threw that pair, I said, I'll fix them. And I got my next pair, and they sewed the legs together. I'm supposed to be leaving in 3 minutes. So, I get out my pocket knife, and I'm going to fix them, and I cut where they sewed it, and I put my pants on, and I went to get in my shoes, and they had put shaving cream, gel shaving cream, all the way down in the toes of my shoes. So, I had no time. So I took them off, scooped out what I could, put my shoes on, and commenced to go into the jungle. Now we had one light in the jungle. So you know what happened. Every critter in the jungle came to our place. So I'm ministering, and at that time I couldn't speak any Spanish, well, just a little bit. So my interpreter was there, and while he spoke, I picked bugs off of him, and while I spoke, he picked bugs off of me. In the midst of all of this, I look down, and there's foam coming out of my shoes.
And I'm ministering the Word of God thinking, I am going to kill whoever did this. And I began to pray, and I said, God, show me who did it. He did show me, by the way. I won't tell you what I did. It was good, though. I'll tell you later. But the point is, we are people of the flesh. We are prone to do things from our ways versus His ways. You see, how many of you remember a few years back when the gentleman, I'll just call him a gentleman, went there in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and murdered the people in the Amish school? Horrible thing, right? But those Anabaptists showed great forgiveness. But let me tell you something else they did. They tore that school to the ground. Why? Because they wanted to get all of the memories, the legacy of that moment needed to be completely gone. They not only forgave the man, but they went to his family and ministered to his family forgiveness. But you see, what we do is we hang on to that stuff. We don't forgive like we're supposed to forgive. You see, forgiveness is the way of the Spirit. Not forgiving is the ways of the flesh, the ways of man, how we look at each other, how we walk together. Horrible things have been done in the name of Christ. And a lot of people are still holding on to that stuff. We've got to determine that we are going to walk in the ways of God and stop reliving that stuff. Stop talking about it. It's over. Stop bringing it back up again. Destroy that thing. The ways of God. We've got to determine we're going to walk in the ways of God, not the ways of man. And those are simple things. Now, I know some of you work with pastors. Let me tell you something. That working with pastors is probably the hardest thing on the planet. I'd rather have the smell of sheep. Who said that? Who is the smell of sheep guy? Oh, I like that. Sheep are a whole lot easier to deal with than pastors. Because pastors have developed their ways. Now, when you meet a pastor who has developed God's ways, now that's a guy you can work with. See? Now, we have come from a long line of stuff. Now, I'm just going to say stuff. See, because in the body of Christ, there's been a whole lot of stuff that's gone on. And instead of looking at things through God's eyes and doing things in God's ways, we take all of this stuff and we carry it with us. And when we get to the next guy, we go, do you know what brother so-and-so did to me? You know what he said about me? So a lot of times, they fellowship on the outside, but on the inside, they hate each other. We know that Jesus said that if we have anger toward our brother, we have committed murder. So are we going to look at it in God's ways, or are we going to justify our ways and say, well, it's a legitimate complaint, after all. So, we work with pastors all the time who are complaining about one another. What's going on in our meetings? Are we just tolerating each other? Or are we in God's ways where we can receive and accept one another unconditionally? Amen? Are we going to be able to lay down the past? Are we going to be able to lay down the hurts and the injuries and even the inability of others to understand where we're coming from? Sir? Yes. You know, a few weeks ago I was just crying out to the Lord. I said, Lord, when are they going to understand? When are they going to get it? And He didn't say this exactly, but the way He said it to me, it came across like this. When are you going to get it? See, because it is a demand that we walk together in unity. It's not an option. Now, I don't even know Jesus' prayers always get answered. And we know that He prayed that we might be one as they are one. Right? So how can we be one with them if their doctrine is different than mine? We can be one with them when we give them the grace to come up. And sometimes we need to have the grace to admit we're wrong. Amen? That's a hard one, especially for preachers. I want to talk just a minute. And usually a minute for me is, I don't know. I got to see where I'm at here. Methodologies. I have discovered that most of the divisions in the body of Christ are not because our doctrine is all that different. They're because we communicate our doctrine differently. If you really nail it down, for the most part, with a few exceptions, we all want to serve Jesus. We all want to do the things Jesus wants us to do. But what happens is, because we communicate it differently, we dogmatically reject it so that we can feel good about ourselves because we're following the Bible. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because, listen, they all want to follow the Bible. But I want you to know, there's a lot of misinterpretation. There's a lot of things that don't line up. I want to give you a really good example. A number of years ago, we had a church in Strasburg, Pennsylvania. And I got ill for a period of time. As a matter of fact, I almost died. I'm not dead yet. I almost died, and during that time, God spoke to us to merge our church with another church so we could I could get better and those kind of things. And so I let certain other people said, okay, this is going to be a good move. So I didn't just talk to them. I just said, all right, we'll do it. So we get over there, and the pastor of this church, we get in there, and every time he talks, I'm thinking, this guy's from Mars. I couldn't understand a thing the man said. I remember we were putting a roof on for somebody one day, and I had to fight myself to keep from throwing the guy off the roof. Every time he opened his mouth, I wanted to slap him. I'm saying, my wife will tell you. She's the only one who knew. Now, honey, you can't kill him. So for 2 years, I'm going, God, deliver me. Please deliver me from this guy. So I had some folks call me and say, listen, we've got some place. We want you to come minister at so-and-so place. We want you to be part of what we're doing, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah. So I decided to do a spiritual thing. I said, God, what do you think about this? And God said, well, I'll let you go. Ever had that kind of experience? Now, when God says, I will let you go, that's not the same as sending. You understand that, right? That's not the same as going, yes, my son, go do it. He's going, I'll let you do it, but it's going to be a mess. I will permit it. How many of you don't want to be in His permissive will? You want to be in His perfect will. So God spoke to me, and I go, I can't go. I want to be in God's will. But what God was trying to make me do was learn to talk it out. Learn to walk it out. Listen, we are going to have opportunity after opportunity to part ways. But when we don't talk about it and we let the devil get in there and begin to put things in our mind, we think we're hearing from God when we're not. So I said, God, what do you want me to do? So God told me, He said, you know, brother so-and-so. I said, yeah? Get him to be a translator. I said, we're speaking the same language. He said, really? I said, oh, well, you got a point there. So this brother came in, and we would sit just like if we were in a foreign country, and you got an interpreter sitting there. They sat in two chairs, I sat in another chair, and I'd say, okay, say something to me. I'm serious now. For 2 years this went on. And he would say something, and I'd turn to the other guy and say, what did he just say? Supposed to be speaking English. Listen, we misunderstand each other all the time, even speaking the same language. I'll try doing that in two languages. It really gets messed up, doesn't it? See? And so, time after time, hours, she would say, when I'd say, well, we got an elders meeting tonight, she'd say, oh my God, you're never coming home. 4, 5 hours, elders meetings to deal with one issue because everything the man said I could not understand. I had to get a translation. But when we walked it out, when we talked it out, I could say, yeah, I agree with that. But he was coming from, I don't know what planet he was coming from. Great guy. Love him today. Don't want to communicate with him, but I love him. Brian probably knows who he is. But listen, we got to understand something. We have got to get beyond our way and what makes us comfortable if we're going to walk in God's way. We have got to be able to span the difference. What does this word say? The Bible separates what? The soul and the spirit. We're walking in the soul nature when we're trying to relate to each other. We got to get past that and get in the spirit realm. Amen? Now, we've seen a lot of different things develop over the years. But methods. Now, we all know that methodologies came throughout history, and we saw the Methodist Church developed out of methodologies. In other words, we're going to write all these methods down, you do these, and everything's going to be okay. But how many of you know, work of the Spirit doesn't go like that? How many of you ever tried to follow the method and it fell flat on its face? See, that's why in the paradigm of the Spirit, that we have to be like the Spirit, not develop a program to try to accomplish things of the Spirit. We have to allow the Spirit to lead so that He can show us the nuances of what needs to be done. When we try to put it in a form and put it in a ritual, we're going to miss God every time. Just because God did it once that way doesn't mean He's going to do it that way again. But we get so habitual in trying to do the methods that we forget that the Spirit is what we're looking for. Amen? Now I'm going to bring this to a close soon, I think. Now how many of you, when you go to church on Sunday, wherever you are, sit in the same chair? I know when we came in yesterday, I first got in Thurlow's chair because I'm used to being in Thurlow's chair in my group. I didn't know it was Thurlow's chair. When he got here, he says, "You're in my chair." I'm thinking, "Hey, I'll see your name on it." But listen, I mean, look how petty we are. We're such creatures of habit. We want to put God in the same box. We end up trying to recreate the last good thing that happened when we're missing the Spirit of God altogether. So a few weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago, our church is set up generally with two sections of about seven chairs and, you know, maybe 50 or 60 chairs on each side. And so I came in early and I took all but about 40 chairs out of the room. And I took all of the chairs and I like if this is our platform, I put all of the chairs bunched as tight as I could get them right up against the platform. So much, and then I put my own chair right here and everybody's right here. And listen, that's not a fun place to be. People are walking in going, "What is going on? Somebody must have broke in the church. They stole all, my chair is gone." And my dad walks in, "Where's my chair?" And so I began to speak to them about habitually walking in the flesh. That we need to habitually walk in the Spirit. That means we need to be open to change. We need to be open to see things done differently. Now we know the character of God never changes, but methods change all the time. So as I began to do this, people came in and they're like they had no, there's chairs there. Am I supposed to sit here? That's not my chair. Well, I said, well, today I want to kill a few cows. Hello? I said, who's hungry for beef? You guys don't get it, do you? Sacred cows. I want to kill a few sacred cows today. Are we like this with God? Because we prayed like this a certain day, now we do the same thing every day? Sounds kind of Catholic. And at the end of the day, I said to them, listen, if we don't change these, pretty soon, this will be the way it's done. Are you hearing me? The ways of man flow with the thoughts of man. But if we're going to walk in the Spirit of God, we got to flow with the Spirit of God. The ways of God. We are so easy to just sink back into our way, our thoughts. Think of how much you think about you. We did a little exercise the Wednesday after I did the chair thing. I wasn't popular that week. And I said to them, you know, normally on Wednesday night we come in we take prayer requests, we do this and that. We sing one worship song and then I teach for an hour and a half. This time, we came in and I said, listen, God has given us an assignment tonight, and what we're going to do is we are going to pray. But we are not going to pray for God's hand. We're going to pray for God's face. That means that we can't ask Him for anything. Not souls, not your neighbor, not your brother, not your sister, not you, anything you need. You want to just seek God for being God. Now I want you to try that sometime. And see how many distractions come into your mind. So we had an hour and a half. I think for some it was just pure hell. Because they're so used to doing it a certain way that they couldn't, you know. So we just get in this habit. Well, I pray at such and such a time every day, and that stuff, that's all right. But if that becomes religious, what's different than what they did in the past? If we're going to walk in the freshness and the newness of what the Spirit is bringing to us, we have got to get beyond our methods. Day in and day out. That's good to be disciplined. But get rid of the bombardment of distractions out of your mind. Listen, it is not easy. As ministers, we have the needs of the people. We have the needs of the church. And in apostolic, you got the needs of great numbers of churches and different people and all of those things and your own needs. So can we try to seek God without us in the way? My wife will tell you, in the last month probably now, I've been on this, you know, God is just continuing to minister to me that I got to repent from my ways. You see, David was a man after God's own heart. Because he didn't habitually fall in sin. Hello? He did fall in sin. He did sin. But his heart was after God. Amen? Saul got rejected, torn away, because his heart was never after God. Never. It was all about his own prestige, his own honor. Listen, folks. And I'm going to close here. How many times have we come before the Lord, sought God for an answer, and walk away still confused? Because we never really connected. We just went through the motions that we've learned, okay, this is the way you seek God. And we didn't come away hearing from God. I want to challenge you that do not leave this conference without hearing from God. See, I don't know how you're going to do it. You might have to, you might have, on the way home, you might have to stop the car someplace and get a hotel room and just get before God and go, God, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I have not been happy with what I've been seeing in me. And God is calling the body of Christ to repentance. Repentance from what? Repentance from self-exaltation. Yes. Repentance from focusing on us instead of focusing on Him. That is the difference. Now see, we can look back in all of history and we see it repeated over and over again. But I am determining for me that I'm not going to repeat it. I want to move on. Amen? I want to go past the place of self and go into the place where He truly is Lord. And see, we're supposed to worship Him in spirit and in truth.
That means we've got to be honest about where we really are. I want to ask someone to play the keyboard or drums or something, not drums, but a guitar, something, just something worshipful. And I just want us for a minute to see if we can get past our own thoughts and touch God tonight.